Perek Hey. The last few weeks, Perek Gimel, basically we were talking about the creation of the world and especially what Hashem created on the first day of creation. There was a lot of very esoteric ideas. Then Perek Dalet, which we're skipping, is about the second day of creation, which in specific talks about the creation of Malachim. And then it talks about all kinds of details about Malachim that we have no shaychas to. Maisa Merkavos, so we're skipping that. And Baruch Hashem, we're starting Perek Hey today, which is a little bit more down to earth, the third day of creation, where Hashem created the Eretz, the earth. So I think that it's a shtickel kedai, before we start the Perek, to just look at the psukim in Parshas Bereishis about the creation of the world, so that we have a better appreciation of what the drushes are going to be. So we're looking at Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Mamash in the beginning, first page. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Yikovu Hamayim, the water should gather up, Mitachas Hashamayim, underneath the heavens, El Makoim Echad, to one place, V'seirae Hayabasha, and the dry land should be visible, Vayichen, and that's where, and then it happened. Vayikra Elokim Leyabasha Eretz, Hashem called the dry land Eretz, Ulamikve Hamayim Koro Yamim, and to the gathering of water, Hashem called them seas, Vayar Elokim Yitev, Hashem saw that it was good. Next step, Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, Tadshei Haaretz Desha, the land should produce vegetation, Esav Mezriya Zera, let's call it grass that produces seed and goes off and makes more grass, Eitz Pri, Eisa Pri Liminoi, fruit trees that can make fruits like itself, Asher Zara Bayala Aretz, it'll be planted in the land, Vayihichen, and it happened that what happened, Pasuk Yud Beis says, Vateitzei Haaretz, the land produced Desha, vegetation, Esav, Mazriya, Zera, Leminehu, grass that can create seeds for grass to go further, Ve'etz, Esav, Pri, Asher, Zera, Boi, Leminehu, and trees that make fruits that could also be planted according to their species, Vayar, Leikim, Kitoiv, and Hashem said it was good, Vayar, Vayvayke, Yam, Shlishi. That was the third day. Fine. With this, we can start the Perek. Perek Chamishi. Bashlishi, Hoysoh, Ishor, Kabiko. On the third day of creation, the beginning of the third day of creation, the land was mamish flat like a plane. It was flat, nothing going up and down. And the whole world was there was this flat land, and on top of the whole land was covered with water. There was water covering the whole land. When the words came out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he said Yikovu Amayim, Olu Mikteis Oretz Ha'horim VeHagvoyis, the different in the different places of the world, mountains and hills came up from the ground. V'Nispazra Panechol Oretz, and these hills and mountains weren't centered on one place. They were all over the world. There's different hills and mountains. V'Nasim Amakim Shalteicha. And different valleys and ditches came on the surface of the land. And the waters all moved around and they gathered in these ditches, and that's where they stayed. To these gatherings of water, that's what Hashem called the seas. That's where the sea, or the really means the ocean. The ocean came from the gathering of this water. Yeah, I have that extra. Min Perek Hey. Fine. There's a few important points over here. All right, let's read Vayter. Let's continue over here. Miad nizgo hamayim. Then the waters became haughty. They had gaiva. Va'olu l'chasis ha'aret kevatchila. And they wanted to go up and cover the land like it was originally. Ad shegor b'hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem screamed at them. Uchvashon, and he conquered these waters. V'nusonan tachas kapais raglov v'medodin b'shol. Hashem put these waters under his feet, meaning like under his control, and he kept them in check. Medodon Bishol means that he kept them measured with his steps, meaning like he put his foot down so to speak, and made sure that the waters don't go, and they won't go past and go further or go less than the way Hashem wanted them to be. Hashem put certain boundaries on the water. This is where the water is supposed to be. This is where the land is supposed to be, and that's it. And the Medrash says, "V'asachel gvul ayam." Hashem made the sand as the boundaries for the sea. Ka'adam shuhu esa gadol lachamer, like a person who makes a fence around his vineyard. So too, Hashem made the sand. When you go to the beach, you see sand. That sand is supposed to serve as the border between the yamim and the water and the sea. And then the Medrash says something interesting. It says, "Ukeshehin oilin v'rayin asachol lifnehem." When the water, let's say, when the tides of the ocean come up closer to the Eretz, and they see this sand, "Kashen oilin," they go up v'rayin asachol lifnehem, and they see the sand in front of it. "Chazanachem," then they go backwards. That's where you have the tides coming in and then going out. "Shenamar," it says in the pasuk. "Don't you see my sign? Aren't you scared of me that I put the sand as the border for the sea?" By the way, we have Mr. Felder. We have cookies of it, brownies if you want. So there's a lot of interesting ideas over here, to discuss. The first one we'll discuss is a sort of a continuation of what we spoke about last week. Stam, you can ask a question on this whole thing. Why did Hashem have to create the world like this? Just mitchila, Hashem should have created wherever He wanted the water, have the water. Wherever He wanted there to be land, make land. Why do you have to make it that there was first there was a land and it was all flat and it took over the whole world, and on top of that was water, and then Hashem had the water move around, and then you had the water here and the land here, and then the water wanted to take over the land, and Hashem made no water over here, land over here, and the sand is going to be a separation between the two. Why did Hashem have to make it like this? A whole story of it. Just make it the way you wanted to make it from the beginning. Just make it like that. So the sefer that we quoted last week talks about this. The sefer Ma'aseh Hashem from Rabbi Elazar Ashkenazi. So last week what I quoted from was in Parshas Bereishis in Perek Beis, Ma'aseh Bereishis. And what I'm quoting from tonight is in Ma'aseh Bereishis Perek Zayin, where he's discussing the creation of the third day of creation, where he says it's the same idea that we spoke about last week. But last week we said that we find that Hashem did two sorts of creations. He did a creation of Yesh Me'ayin and Yesh Me'yesh. He created something from nothing, and He created something from something. And the way I understood that was that the something from something means that Hashem would intervene in things that were already created. So he says that here too, on the third day of creation, Hashem dafka created it like this to bring out this point again, that Hashem could intervene in creation. Not just that he would create it like this and that's the way it stays. Oh, Hashem made the water and the land, it's all like mixed up together. And then Hashem separated and made the water go here and the land go here and everything is hunky-dory. That's the way the Ma'aseh Hashem explains it. You don't like it.
Don't we have any of the Mephoshim to speak about what the creative process is? Okay, because it's obvious to me. This is how you create something, how you make something. Certainly how you make a painting, okay? You don't start and have like a photographic image of what you're going to do, okay? You start putting the stuff down and you move it around.
That's
until
you
get it the way you want it.
But that's you. But when Hashem is creating things, Hashem already knows how the end is going to look. You don't know how the end is going to look, so you have to put everything together and try to...
An artist has an idea. He has a picture of what he wants to do and everything, but he puts the stuff down and then he moves it around to conform with his that conception of what he wants to do. I mean, it's not just me. I know that's how painters work.
Fine, but Hashem is not just a painter. Hashem knows exactly how he's going to want it. So why would he do it in two steps if he could do it in one step?
That's the way it is. That's the creative process.
So that's what you're saying.
He's the primary. He's the first one.
Right. So that's exactly what he's saying.
Creative people, artists did not get it from, you know, it didn't come to them, you know, stam.
Right.
Okay? It came from first one.
Exactly. Now, another Nakuda that the same Sefer in the Ma'aseh Hashem points out If we looked at the psukim, what did Hashem say? Hashem said, "Yikavu hamayim el malkoim elchad v'seiroi hayabasha." That the water should gather around to one place, and then kilu mimela, the land will be visible. Over here, it sounds so. From the psukim, it sounds like what was doing the active role in this creation? The waters. There's land and there's water on top of it, and Hashem said, "Water, you gather up in certain places." And then, as passively, so to speak, the eretz will be visible. That's what it sounds like from the psukim. But if you look over here in the Medrash, it's saying like, no, what happened when Hashem said Yikavu Amayim? So like mountains grew and hills grew, and then ditches came in the valleys, and then because there was all this topographical changes. So somehow the water ended up in the ditches, and the mountains were coming above it. But in the psukim, it sounds like the water was moving. Here it sounds like the eretz was moving. That's Ma'aseh Hashem's ha'ara on this measure. And then he doesn't answer the question. He says, rather you have to say that what it's talking about over here has no shaykhus to what it's talking about in the psukim, and here it's talking about some sort of secrets. It says, "Lurames odover nelam," and it's not talking about the same thing that the Torah is talking about. It's not coming to say pashup shat in the psukim, because it sounds like it's talking about something completely different. So I don't know what to do with that. But
the water wasn't happy. The water.
Right, the water wasn't happy.
To cover the land, so Hashem had to put the water in its place.
So you want to say that the psukim is talking about afterwards?
Yeah.
At that point.
He created the land in Zuhayz. The water. Could have just said, "All right, I will go." You know, there, but it didn't want to. It tried to olet.
Right.
And then Hashem had to actually put the water in its place, which is in line with the psukim, seemingly.
Right. So you're saying the psukim is talking about sort of like after the first step, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In itself, Hashem actually had to put the water in its place.
Right.
Not gravity.
Okay. There's.
How did he do it? At what point did he create gravity?
Isaac Newton invented gravity.
No, he didn't. Recognized it, maybe.
Yeah, I'm joking, yeah.
But the point is, Hashem channeled, you know, or he ruled these things with he created something to do with a manner of doing it, whatever.
Right.
Well, in Lechora, there was no gravity yet. The earth, the Olam was created. What am I mean? Yom Ravi is when he created the sun and everything like
right,
that.
I was just thinking that.
The gravity is a...
Is the power of the sun, is the power of the celestial bodies and
right,
the whole balance.
Is not a celestial thing yet. It's
right.
Simply, there is no gravity. Hence the water, Ole, wasn't happy. And he had to put it in its place.
Well, it's an interesting point. He's saying that you're saying that gravity was created on the fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think about that. This seems like it's a side point what I'm going to say now, but it really introduces a concept that I think is very important. Stam, even without this, stam to know and translate into different aspects and different areas. But we'll start it off like this. He said what came when Hashem said Yikavu Harim and Gvois, mountains and hills. So we find the lashon of harim and gvois in many different places, mountains and hills. Pashas means hills, but well, what's the difference between harim and gvois, and what's the mashmaos of it? So it's like this: Chazal, there's a pasuk in the Shir Shirim. It says it's talking about the geula. Pashas is talking about the geula of Mitzrayim. Could be it's talking about the geula of Asilove as well. And it says Kol Daidi Hinei Zeba, the voice of my beloved is coming. Medaleg alehorim mekapitz al gvois. It's jumping, medaleg alehorim, skipping over the mountains and jumping over the gvois. Let's call it hills. So it's talking about how, let's say, the geul and Mitzrayim happened earlier than was anticipated. It was jumping over the mountains and the hills. What's this mountains and hills? What's it talking about? So the Gemara, and I believe Psachim, says medaleg alehorim zchus avos. Mekapitz al gvois zchus imahis. So harim has something to do with the avos, and gvois has something to do with the mother, the forefathers and the foremothers. of Klal Yisrael. How do we understand this? There's a lot of different explanations to understanding this, but there's a practical mahalach in understanding the difference between the Avos and the Imahis, or the in this case the Harim and the Gvoris. The Vilna Goyin, the Gra in his Pirush Hadras Aliyo and Yeshaya and Perek Beis. So the difference, the practical difference between Harim and Gvoris, says that a Har is, it has a spitz, it has like a, it comes up to a point. It's like this. It's all focused into one point. That's what a mountain is. Masha'inkin Gvoris is more like what we would say in English as a plateau. It doesn't come up to a point, but the whole thing is raised, and there's a flat area where it's raised. It doesn't come to one point. And so, based on this idea, you can very easily understand why Harim is Shaykh to Avos, because that's how a Zohar is. A Zohar comes to one point, and that's how it goes. Masha'en came by a Nekeva. And the Keva is wide over there, so that's why Gvois is chus to Imahis. That's basically what the Vilna Gaon explains. Chazal also say that Isha is like a Beis HaOitzer, because she's Nasa Rachav, she's wide. Similarly, the Malbim says a similar idea. He says, he doesn't say, define Harim and Gvois in exactly the same way, but he explains how Harim is Shaykh to Avos, and Gvois is Shaykh to Imahis. The Malbim in his Pirush on Yeshaya, also in his Sefer, he has a Sefer called Yoyer Or, which is a very interesting Sefer about synonyms. There's different words in Lashon HaKodesh that you think that they mean the same thing, but the Malbim says that they actually mean different things, and explains how they mean different things. So Harim and Gvois is a pair of words like that. And the Malbim explains that Harim is a mountain, and Gvois is like a real, you know, a major mountain, and Gvois are hills that surround the mountain. He says, but Derech Klal, you have one like major mountain, a big mountain, and there's hills around it. Like we have, like Yerushalayim is built on a mountain, and we say about Yerushalayim Harim Savivla. There's like a bunch of the Judean hill, the hills of Jerusalem all around it. Or you have Mount Everest, which is like the Spitz mountain. And it's not just its own mountain. It's not just a mountain on its own. There's a whole range of mountains. The Himalayas, there's a whole bunch of mountains all around it. So just like he says, the Nekeva surrounds the Zachar, right? The woman surrounds the man. So too the Gvois surround the Har. So that's why Harim is Zchus Avos and Gvois is Zchus Imahis. That's what the Malbim explains. Now, it's an interesting point that when we're talking about Zohar and Nekeva in this type of context, so we don't literally mean man and woman. The term Zohar and Nekeva, used especially, let's say, in Machshava and maybe Kabbalah to some extent, known as, like, say, Bechina de Duchra, Bechina de Nukva, that's how they said in Aramaic, the male aspect and the female aspect. When we use these expressions, we mean the male aspect means the person, means or the force, or the person that's mashpia, the person that gives influence, or gives energy, or gives over something, provides something to someone else. That mashpia, he gives the shefa. That's what's called the zohar. Masha'en kein, the nekeva, what we call the female, is the receiving end, the one who receives the hashpa, receives the kayach, receives different influence, or the mushpa. Just a person, someone who just illustrates this point very, very strongly, is the Chassam Sofer in Maseches Shavuos on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Kol Aparish Meishtei Samach Levesta Haven LeBanim Zecharim. A person who's meticulous in the laws of family purity is going to have Banim Zecharim, which literally means male children, male sons. So the Chassam Sofer says that doesn't literally mean male sons. It says like this. Maybe you can say the love zachar mamish kamar. It doesn't literally mean male. It's known the hamashpia lo olam nikra zachar. A person who provides or influences the world, he is called a zachar. He's called male. V'im hi nekeva b'taylada, if he happens to be in mitzad his biological components, he happens to be a female. in zochsel hashpia la'achirim, if she's able, if she's zeicha to be influence others in b'mammon with her money, or the zakeis harabim k'shiva neviyos, or to do good things for the public benefit, like the seven neviyos that gave nevuas for everyone, or lehinasi l'tamen chacham v'yispanis al yada v'yesh ba'ar l'shal Torah. Or she's zeicha to marry a Talmud Chacham, and she supports him, and he sits ba'oyel shel Torah in his in her tent of Torah, and he's marbitz Torah b'Yisrael al yada, and he's spreading Torah in Klal Yisrael through her. He's zochar be'emes. She's really called a zochar because she's providing the hamekablim acherim, people who are or forces that are receiving. On the receiving end, lo'elam nekroim nekevas. They're always called what we call b'china de nukva. They're called kilu female. V'im hem zecharim b'taylada, nekevas hema be'emes. Even if they happen to biologically be male, but they're considered like nekeva because they have this b'china of receiving. So it's the same thing over here. When we're talking about harem and gvois, that harem is the avos and gvois is the imahis. So I saw my Rebbe in the Sefer Rav Eliyahu Margolis Shlita has a Sefer Emunas Eliezer on in Yoni Purim, one of his Sfarim. So in Perek Dalad, he mentions that he heard, he doesn't say where he heard it from, but he says that he heard from Fachash of a person that the word Gevois is related to the word Gavia. Gavia means a cup or a goblet. Actually, the word goblet sounds very similar to the word Gavia. What's the mahus of a cup? The cup is just a cup. Has no chashivus on its own. It's nothing important on its own. No, a cup doesn't mean anything. So a cup is to hold something else. A cup is something that accepts a hashpa from something. You take a bottle of wine and you pour it in the cup. So the cup accepts the wine. So that's why the word gvois is related to the word gavia. And when we're talking about gvois is the imahis. So the nakuda is that the imahis were the mushpa ones. That's what it means, b'china de nukra, b'china de nukra, b'china de nukva, the male aspect and the female aspect. I once asked my Rebbe a question about this. He didn't have an answer then, but I thought about it more, and I don't think it's so difficult. If you think about it, when a woman becomes pregnant, so it says in the pasuk, vatahar, the lashon is heroyin. Vatahar literally, let's say, means that she became a mountain. But har is the lashon that we use when we're talking about avos. It should be like vatigba. Why? What's the lashon of tahar? So he didn't have an answer on the spot. But I thought about it afterwards, and I think that the pshat is like this: that we said the aspect of har is that it's a mashpia, and the giva is a mushpa. So we can say that when a woman becomes pregnant, she's mashpia on whatever's inside of her. So now, even though she's in the beginning, let's say she was a mushpa, but now she turned into a mashpia. She became a mountain. She mamish became a mountain. Okay, let's go weiter. You can wake up now. Stop talking about the Kabbalah. Okay. You have va'ad shalei nikvu hamayim nivru hamayris usohaymes. Before Hashem created before Hashem had the waters joined together, so the ma'ayres and the tahaymes were created. Now tahaymes, let's call it underground bodies of water, and ma'ayres is a very difficult to understand what ma'ayres means in this context. Ma'ayres usually means, let's say, the bodies of light, which usually refers to the sun and the moon. But the problem is that we're talking about the third day of creation, and the sun and the moon weren't created till the fourth day of creation. So what does it mean, ma'iris, over here? So this is the question that's bothering all of Mefarshim, and they have different ways of dealing with it. The Marzu says that the word ma'iris is could also be used as a synonym for the same thing as tahaymais, which you have to know what that means, because we said there's no synonyms. But that's what the Marzu says. The Bayis HaGadol appears that you have over there on the bottom. He says that it's not supposed to say Ma'iris. It's supposed to say Bayris, like pits, the pits of water. It's the same idea as underground bodies of water. And the Radal says that he's supposed to say Ma'ayonis. That Ma'ayonis are springs of water. And then the Radal says that in other sources where it brings down this Medrash, it doesn't even have the word Ma'iris Bechla, it just says Tahimish. This is a Medrash Sheikhotev when it's bringing down the same Drasha. Al Kapanim, the main thing of it that we're going to discuss is the Tahimis, the underground bodies of water, were there before. Ah, Mazel Tov. Fine. Ve'elohin ha-Tahimis. These are the underground bodies of water. Elu shemitachas la'aretz. These bodies of water that are under the ground. Sheha'aretz ala tahaymes nirkas. Because the eretz, the land, is, let's call it, draped over these tahaymes, these underground bodies of water. Ka'ania shehitzofa b'lev yom. Like a boat that's like sort of floating on top of the water. Kach ha'aretz murukas ala moyim. Shneimer l'reika ha'aretz ala moyim. The eretz is like a canopy or a draping over the waters. I don't know that tahaymes actually means water. It doesn't. It could be that when we're talking about tahaymes, we actually mean molten lava. And this would be very consistent with what we understand and with what scientists tell us, that the world is really, there's different plates that are sitting on top of molten lava. It's a theory of plate tectonics, I think it's called, and it's much like the same idea as the Medrash. Like the world is sort of like floating on top of something that's called tahaymes, and it could be that these tahaymes doesn't mean underground water, but it means, or to some extent, it means like molten lava, and the world is sort of floating on that. And we know that's not true. And we have earthquakes when different plates crash or slide into each other. We have earthquakes and other geological phenomena like that.
Volcanoes,
right? The same idea. It could be that that's what the Menish is referring to. I'm not sure. I don't know for sure that the word Tohaimes means water. In other contexts, it could be it does mean water. But over here, it would make a lot of sense if that's what it's talking about. Okay, the next thing. U'pasach l'gan Eden pasach ba. And Hashem opened an opening to Gan Eden in the land. And the next line over here is shtickle hard to read. And there's two ways to read it. I have my preferred way of reading it, and then I'll read it that way, and then the way the Radal reads it, and I'll explain why the Radal doesn't like the first pshat. But v'haitzi mimena netoyim al panei chol ha'aretz, and Hashem took out from the land growths all over the world. Things grew all over the world. Kol minei eitz ilon eitz apili minoi, all different types of fruit trees according to their species. V'chol min eitzev v'desha nata mehem, and all types of grass and vegetation grew out from the eretz. Ubehem Zaram Alaris, and from that's where we have, you know, these seeds all over the world. Shinemar, Asher Zara Bay Al Haaretz Vigamer. That's the way I read it. Basically what I just read was that from the Vahiti Mimena Nitoim Apanech Al Haaretz is saying that Hashem took out all these things from the land. This eight Elon and the Asev and the Desha, that's the way I read it. And the reason why I read it like that is because it says Vahiti Mimena. Mimena is Lashon Nekeva. So what's the Nekeva that we're talking about? It has to be the Eretz. We find that Pirkei Abelezer is always using the word Eretz as a Lashon Nekeva. Sometimes it's Lashon Zakah, sometimes it's Lashon Nekeva. Last week we had the Eretz Me'eza Makom Nivreis. It doesn't say Me'eza Makom Nivra. So we see that Pirkei Abelezer uses the word Eretz as Lashon Nekeva. And that's why I read it like this. But the Radal doesn't like this reading of the Medrash. The Radal favors understanding that this is kashur to what we just read, the line before this. We said, "Upesach leGan Eden pasach ba." Hashem opened an opening to Gan Eden in the Eretz, and then now we're talking about what Hashem took out of Gan Eden. V'hoitzi mimena netoim al pnei chol ha'aretz. Hashem took out of Gan Eden these different vegetation and growths for the whole world. And he has two reasons why he said. His ikar reason why he says this is because, first of all, like, otherwise, what shaykhas does this have to do with what we just read about opening to Gan Eden? What does this have to do with making these vegetations? So he says it has to be that these vegetations coming from Gan Eden. Otherwise, that line of Pesach, like Gan Eden, and Pesach has no shaykhas to what we're talking about. The other nekuda that he says is if we look back at the psukim that we when we started the shir, we went through the psukim of Hashem creating the third day. So, and if we look back in the psukim, where by the way we have brownies if you want. There's no marijuana in the brownies. I know that much.
Maybe it'll help
us understand this. Hallucinogens.
Can you please erase that part from that way the recording before you put it on?
What?
Yeah. Erase that before you put it on the internet. Then it's over
email. I didn't say that, okay? Anyways, that, what's it called? If you look in the Pesukim, especially let's say Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis, so it says, Vayom Lakim, he says, Hashem wanted to bring out three things when we're talking about the vegetation of the world. It says, Tachayar is Deshe, vegetation, Esev Mazriyazar, grass, and Eitz Pri, fruit trees. Now if you look in Parak Yud Eliezer, it has it in the exact opposite order. It says, "V'hoytzi mimeno the time called Kotz, kumini eitz ilon fruit trees, and then chomin esev v'desha notamehem. Then the grass, and then vegetation. The exact opposite order from the psukim. So there are dal reasons that if the medrash is coming to speak about the same thing that the psukim is coming to speak about, why would it give in the exact opposite order? The psukim is talking about what grew on the land." So he said, it has to be that we're talking about what grew in Gan Eden, not what grew in the land. And from what grew in Gan Eden, Hashem took the best of that and brought it into Olam Hazeh. He says a few other nekudas also, that when we're talking about, when we talk about Hashem creating Gan Eden, in the Psukim, in Parash Shesbereshis, in Perek, Perek Gimel, Parak Beis, Pasuk Ches. So it says, Vayita Hashem Elikim Gan Be'eden Mikedem. Hashem planted a garden in Eden from Kedem, from the east, or as we said before, like from way before. Vayasem Shem Es Adam Asher Yotzar. Vayatvach Hashem Elikim in Adamo. Hashem made grow from the ground, Kol Eitz Nechmad Lamare, V'Tev Lamachal, different types of fruit trees. Ve'Eitz Achaim, Ve'Chang, Ve'Eitz Adas Tevira. In this psukim it says, "Vayita Hashem Elokim." Hashem planted it. Vayatzmach Hashem made it grow. In the psukim where it's talking about the when Hashem created the world, the eretz, when Hashem created the world and it made vegetation, it doesn't say Hashem did it. It said, "Vayomer Elokim Tacharetz Desha," etc. And then it says, "Vatayte Haaretz Desha." The land itself created it. So he wants to make. So the Radal wants to be medayik from that difference in lashon. That we're talking about two different things. Hashem created the different things in Gan Eden, and then Hashem took him out, and kilu al derech hateva, the way he actually uses the expression of that was yeshmi ayin, and now Hashem made a different creation of sort of bringing out what was in Gan Eden into this world. And then it just says v'taytzei ha'aretz desha, because Hashem didn't create at this point. It's not sort of a creation; it's more of just bringing out something that was from elsewhere and just bringing it here to Olam Hazeh, I guess. That's the Radal's way of understanding this, and the Radal also discusses when did Hashem create Gan Eden. We said before in Parak Gimel that Gan Eden is one of the things that Hashem created before He created the world, but he brings it, other midrashim don't count it as one of the things that was created before Hashem created the world. So it says that maybe Hashem created, so it says according to them it sounds like Hashem created Gan Eden on the third day of creation right before He created the eretz of our eretz. Okay, but he points out that doesn't necessarily work with what we said before, that L'maisa, our Pirkei Avos says that Hashem created it before. Okay, let's go weiter. So by creating all this vegetation, so the Medrash says, "V'orach shulchan lebriyos ad shelo nivra ha'olam." By doing so, Hashem prepared the table from which the creations will eat before the world was created. Shneimar tarich lefanei shulchan. David HaMelech said, "Hashem set in front of me a shulchan." And the Medrash, as the Radal explains, the Medrash is dashing lefanei doesn't necessarily mean only in front of me, but it means before me. Before I was created, before man was created, before all animals were created, Hashem already set up the table. We have what to eat before He created the creations. And similarly, v'chol mayanos elin min atahaymes lahashkes kol bris. And all the different the springs that get water from the underground bodies of water, they're there to quench the thirst of the things that will be created later on. So Hashem is sort of preparing the food before He creates the different things. The lashon that we just said was v'arach shulchan abrias ad shelo nivra olam. Before the world was created, Hashem set the table for the creations. So the Marzu points out that this expression of ad shelo nivra olam, before the world was created, is in this context means before those things were created, because in Perek Gimel, we use the expression "Achilay Nevar Olam" to mean before the whole world was created. We're talking about before the first day of creation. Here, we're talking about the third day of creation. So it doesn't mean literally before the world was created. B'chol, it means before those things were created. I think that's what the Marzu is trying to like point out, that it's in this phrase means something different than what it previously meant. The Radal changes even. He is bothered by the same thing. He even changes the Girsa. It says "Baruch Shulchan Lebriyos." Actually, nivra'u ba'olam, before the brias were created in the world. Not, as opposed to the way we have it, it says actually nivra ba'olam, nivra ha'olam. Okay. You have something you wanted to say, it looks like. No? Okay, Rabbi Shua Aimer. I'll invite Rabbi Shua Aimer. Rabbi Shua says, Ovyo shel eretz mahalach shishim shana. The thickness of the land is a journey of 60 years. The Radal has a whole cheshbon how this works according to a Gemara in Pesachim, but I don't want to get into that. Usohayim echad shehu etzel gehenim neveya umaytzi mayim chamim ta'anug livnei adam. And there's we said that the tahaim is underground bodies of water. So there's one tahaim echad. There's one body underground body of water shehu etzel gehenim. It's next to gehenim neveya. It's flowing umaytzi mayim chamim. It brings out hot waters. Like hot water springs, tanug lebnei, which is like enjoyable for people. This was one of the reasons why I wanted to say that tohemes, it really refers to like molten lava or something, because you see it's like talking about like hot waters. And I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. I didn't see anyone discussing this, but next, let's see what.
Tohemes doesn't have to be in water.
No, time is just means the depth.
The depths.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to say that it means that.
No, I'm just suggesting that when we're saying that the Eretz is like floating on the Tahaymis, that it's referring to the how the continents are on plates on top of molten lava.
Lava, but you're trying to answer that it's not
water.
Water.
Right.
In Parshas Noah, okay.
And Parshas Noach, when it's talking about the flood, it says Niftachu kol mayanos tohem rabba varu beis hashamayim niftachu, right? So over there, it's talking about how there's certain things that opened up and waters came out from it.
From the Tahamas.
From the Tahamas.
That doesn't mean that it is that.
Right.
That. I mean, it has that.
Right. So I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just a suggestion. I think it just makes it more geshmak, because it works out with the Metzius as the way scientists explain it, but. Okay, this is another thing that Mamish, when you read this, it goes back to like high school science. You Mamish see how these things, how everything works out together. Amar Yehuda, pam achas b'chol chedesh v'chedesh, once a month, silenis elin min ha-tahaymes. Pipes come up from these tahaymes, umashkin es kol p'nei ha-adama. And it gives, what's it called? It moistens the all of the land. Shneimar, because it says in the pasuk, the eid yalam min ha'aretz, a cloud is going to come up from the ground, from the land. V'hishka es kol pnei ha'adama, is gonna quench the face of the whole land. What does that mean? Avim mashmin es kol tzinerei sehem layamim, the clouds they empty out their. I don't know why it uses this expression. It's a very funny expression. Mashmin is called Sinari Sehen. Literally means they allow the voice of their pipes to be heard. Which I think the Pashup Shad is, it means that it just empties out its contents into the Yamim. So the clouds empty out their contents into the seas. Vayamim Mashmin is called Sinari Sehen, the Tahaymes. And the seas empty out their contents to the Tahaymes. Usahaim kare el tahaim, and one underground body of water calls to the other underground body of water, lahalis mayim avalitin la'avim, to bring out water and give it to the clouds. Shneimam tahaim el tahaim kare lekol tzinirecha. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. One underground body of water to one underground body of water calls out and to the voice of their pipes. The ha'avim and the clouds, shayavim mayim mina tahaimis, they draw water from these tahaimis. And the Marzu says there's a different gersa that says they draws out water from the yam, which I think makes more sense. It draws out water from the seas. The clouds draw water from the seas. Shneamar malan esik seoritz. It's very like it makes it very complicated and esoteric. But what I think over here, what's going on over here, is a very simple idea that we learn about it when we're in science class in elementary school. Even the whole system of how there's precipitation, that let's say the rain comes down and then it evaporates and it goes back into the clouds and it's in the air and then it goes into and then it built up in the air and then it goes into clouds and then it comes back down. It's a whole shakla v'taya of recycling and going back and forth to here and there. I think that this is exactly what the Medrash is talking about. The water is coming down and it goes here and then it goes back up into the clouds. It's exactly what the Medrash is referring to. The only thing which we don't understand is why does the Medrash say that this is once every 30 days? What does this have to do with 30 days? In some places it rains, you know, every other day. In New York, or it rains once a week. It has to rain once every 2 weeks max. In some places it never rains. What's this? Once every 30 days, this whole cycle of that moistens the land, mashkenes kol paneihu adama. So I think this nukuda of the 30 days, that we have to understand it not pashut pshat. We have to understand it more esoterically, and the halacha to understanding it is like this. This is coming from Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel was Rav in Krakow. He's one of my favorite machaber svarim. He wrote a lot of different svarim, tons and tons of svarim. He actually wrote, and not all of them do we still have. But his famous svarim, he has Gilyani Ashas, Asfoin Daraisa, Lekach Tev, Mamsh. These are Lomdish svarim. But he also has like Drush. So there's a sefer called Eitzris Yosef, Chelek Gimel. He has a whole. It's called what's it called? Drush Maimer Levana. Chelek Gimel Maimer Levana. He talks about what's this 30 days over here that we're talking about. He says that 30 days is the minimum interval for something that is it requires to be something that is required to be mekabel hashpa, which to receive hashpa. The minimum amount that it could survive on is if it gets an interval of hashpa once every 30 days. The dugma. We said tonight, all of us I think said this tonight. Tanan Rebbe Shmuel, Il Mori Li Zachi Yisrael El Hakpil Al Pnei Avim Shabbat Shemayim Pam Achas B'Chedesh Dayon. If it wasn't for the, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If it wasn't for the fact that, I think it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. If it wasn't for the fact, if it wasn't that, if Klal Yisrael would only be Mekabel Pnei Avim Shabbat Shemayim, only be Mekabel from Hashem, once a month, Dayam. That would be enough. What does it sound like? It sounds like if it would be Makabal less often than once a month, that's not enough. We wouldn't be able to survive it. Once a month, to be Makabal, that's enough. To be Makabal, all you need is once a month. Similarly, actually, when we get to the Parsha, we find there's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara, oh, you're learning Yevamos, no? Not learning Yevamos. Someone's learning Yevamos, I know. Nobody. Okay. Well, there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says that the Gemara gives you good advice, marriage advice. The Gemara says, this is good marriage advice, yeah? The Gemara says, don't have more than four wives. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Don't have more than four wives. Why?
Makes sense.
Huh? Makes sense. Why four? What's up four wives? So the Gemara says, because the Oina of a Tamil Chacham is Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So you want to make sure that each wife gets once a month, right? So once a week divided into a month. So if you have 4 weeks in a month, so everyone is going to be beset. Everyone gets once a month. The Gemara says ad shloshim yoyim muki inish anafshei. It's also Gemara Yevamos. The there's a case where Yavam and Yavam were living together, and then she claimed that he didn't do Yibum. So Gemara says, if it was after 30 days, then we don't believe her, because it's impossible, he's going to live with her and not do Yibum. But if it was within 30 days, then it's possible, because he could hold himself back for 30 days. But more than 30 days, it's impossible. What?
How did David have a
So it's a medrash. The medrash talks about it. The medrash says that's what it means. The pasuk b'demasi arsi emsa ein sham in medrash sheikhet on that pasuk. But once every 30 days. That's also the pshat. The meshech chachma in this week's parsha says that Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu, im tanez b'neisai, im tikach noshim al b'neisai, you better not take any other wives. That was one of the when Lavan caught up to Yaakov, you know, he made a treaty with him. So one of the tanaim was that Lavan said to Yaakov, you better not get any more wives. So Meshech Chachma says, what does he care? So he says, because Yaakov, you know, had four wives, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. So with four wives, he's mekayim his gemara. To take more than that, that's unacceptable. Less often than once every 30 days, to be if you're mekabel hashpa, less often than that, you can't survive like that. So Rav Yosef Engel says that that's what the Medrash is referring to, that things need to be replenished once every 30 days. Pam achas b'chol chedesh v'chedesh, things have to be redone. And it's interesting that the Medrash over here, as we're going on, is gonna continue on this theme, this motif of making it sort of a mushel between the rain or the waters giving koyach to the eretz to create flora and the relation between a man and a woman. But all of this really is a mushel for something even greater, which we'll get to Be'ezus Hashem at the end when he gets the mamish, the punchline. Perek Yudalev that says mamish, the punchline, which is at the end of this of the perek, and then we'll be able to understand a lot of different ideas in the world. But that sounds very intriguing, no? We understand a lot of ideas in the world. But al kapanim, that's what Rav Yosef Engel says. Let's talk about over here. So we're talking about this whole system of evaporation from the oceans going to and the seas going to the clouds, and the clouds bringing rain. So the Medrash says, "Uvomakim shiyivkad lehem akadish bochu lahalay selahamter sham magshimim." Wherever Hashem commands them to go and bring the rain there, sham magshimim. That's where they give the rain. And then when the rain comes and the rain falls, miyad ha'oretz. Then the land becomes pregnant and it grows. It causes things to grow. This is Russian. The land becomes pregnant. What does that mean? That the land becomes pregnant. So the Medrash says, it says more than that. Ki isha almana she'imuberes miznus, like a widowed woman who becomes pregnant from promiscuous activity. What does that mean? So the Radal says that it's dashing a pasuk, which it's going to bring the pasuk at the end. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, it says, "Ki kasher yered hageshem ha'shelig min ha'shomoyim," when the rain and the snow come from the shemayim, "b'shomal le'yashuv," it's not going to go back. It only comes down. "Ki im hirbasar," and it's going to keep coming until the land is quenched. And it's going to cause the land to give birth and to grow things. And it's going to give seed to more seeds. And bread for people to eat. And then the Navi Yeshaya Perek Nun Hey says that this is a mashal for the word of Hashem, that Hashem says it and it goes and it has to tour, and it has to go out and do something in the world. It doesn't come back. Whatever Hashem says goes. But in the Lashon over there was v'haylida v'hetzmicha. It goes and it gives birth. And the Radal says that when it says v'haylida, so he says v'haylida doesn't literally mean gives birth, because it doesn't right away sprout, let's say, fruits and vegetables or whatever. So first it becomes pregnant, kibiyachol. What does it mean pregnant? Pregnant means it has now it's set up that in 9 months from now a potato is going to grow up from under the ground. But now it's sprouting and then it starts growing or whatever. And he says that we find that the Lashon, he says that the Lashon of Hailida means Ibur. I actually found that there's a Tesis in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos has a shtickle complicated sugya, but over there the Gemara uses the Lashon Tzar Leida, that there's a chashash that the Cyrus are going to fall off from Tzar Leida Yevamos Yigimel Menalf. Cyrus would fall off from Tzar Leida, and Tesis explains that it can't be talking about Leida, because if it was a woman that gave birth, then she's for sure Gedel later. So Tesis comes out that when it says Tzar Leida, it means Tzar Ibur. So it's already a Mefurisha Tesis that the expression Leida could also refer to Ibur.
I'm going to talk to you about an Al
Almana.
Yeah,
okay. So first, it's unfair because I didn't really finish off exactly what the measure said, because I got too carried away with what I was saying. But the point is that when the land becomes sustained from clouds giving rain, from this whole system of water and evaporation and condensation and precipitation, whatever, this whole system that gave rain to come out, and the land grows from that. So the Medrash is saying that that's not the optimal way of growing things. That's not the real agriculture that we want to happen. That's more like a woman who becomes pregnant in not the optimal situation. She's an almana, she's not married, and she becomes pregnant from znus. She doesn't become pregnant from a normal healthy relationship. So this is not what we want. It works. It's the same thing. At the end of the day, you have a baby. It doesn't matter who the father was and how they got together. It's the same thing. But that's not what we want. What do we want? Says the Medrash. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to bless the growth of the land, V'liten tzeda shel bris, and to give repast to the creations, what does Hashem do? Pesach etzores hatayim shevashamayim umamter la'aretz. He opens the good storage houses in the heavens, and he brings down rain to the eretz. Shehein mayim zacharim, because these are male waters. What does that mean, male waters? And then when Hashem brings down these waters that are coming directly from Shemayim, miyad ha'aretz misaberes, the land becomes pregnant. Again, the same imagery. Like a bride who becomes pregnant from her first husband. The Radal actually changes the girsa to kibisula ha'misaberes mibaylo harishin, to like a virgin who becomes pregnant from her husband in the beginning. It's interesting, some agav, because the Gemara says Enisha misaberes mi birishena. So how is that possible? So the answer really is what I think is that Perikta Blazer is l'shitasa in Perik Tazayin. We're going to see that Perik Tazayin, Perikta Blazer basically says that Isha could be misaberes mi birishena, because there was a minig that they used to take out the besulim with the etzbab when they got married. So then from the birishena you could get pregnant. But that's just a Perikta Blazer l'shitasa. Al kaponim. That's the optimal way of sustaining the land, getting the mayim directly from the Eitzoris HaTayv Sheva Shemayim, that Hashem brings down the bracha of Shefa. These waters are called mayim zecharim, male waters. What are they called, male waters? So the Radal says that the Radal doesn't speak it out, but what the Radal means to say is that when you're talking about the mayim of the tahaimis, even the of the underground bodies of water that, let's say, are coming down to the ground via the clouds, so those mayim are the mayim shalmata, and the mayim that are coming from shemayim is the mayim shalmala. So when you're talking about Mayim Shalmala versus Mayim Shalmata, so what's the Lamala is Bechina of Zachar, and what's Lamata is Bechina of Nekeva. So that's why it says, it calls, with the Mayim that comes directly from the Shemayim, it calls it Mayim Zacharim, because it's a Bechina of Zachar. And it's also interesting that the Goyin in Shir Shirim, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches, when he says that, he has another Pshat in Harim and Gvois, And he says that Harim and represents Sarim Shalmala, and Gvoyas represents Sarim Shalmata. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's the same idea that the Zachar is Lamala and the Nekev is a Bechin of Lamata. Okay. So what's the punchline of all of this? Says the Midrash. Uksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Kival Bachur Besulo Yivaluch Ponoich, and the famous the end of the pasuk is a little bit more famous. When we say Chosan Arkala Yossi Salayach Alei Koich, that basically, you know, the way that a Bachur is with a Besulo, so or the way a Chosan is going to be happy with his Kala, so too Hashem is going to have the same type of relationship with Kala Yisrael. Chsiv, and then it brings this pasuk that we said in Yeshaya, Ki Kasher Yered Hakeshem Vehashelag Min Hashamayim V'chulu, that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu is you can understand it with the mashal of a man and his wife, or you can understand it with the mashal of the rain providing for the ground, that just like a man provides for his wife and the rain provides for the ground, so too Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for Klal Yisrael. Interesting, the last shtickle of the Radal, he says that there's a Gemara in Maseches Tainis, Taf Tesam and Beis, brings machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer, our Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shua, the person who always argues with him. The Gemara says, where does the waters of the rain come from? So one says it comes from the Shemayim, and one says that it comes from the Tehoimis. And Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Ekev brings that Gemara, and he says that in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it makes a pshara, it makes a compromise between these two shitas. When Klal Yisrael is doing good, so then it comes straight directly from Shemayim. When Klal Yisrael is not doing good, when people are not zaycha, then it comes from the Tehoimis. So he's saying that Pirkei Avozer is sort of making a hachra between these two shitas in the Gemara. Al Kapanim, these two nekudas of the man and the wife and the water and the ground is Be'etzim, we're saying, is a mashal for the relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And I saw a very powerful thought from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, and I think that this will help us understand a lot of things that's going on nowadays, and how maybe we can try to do something to sort of rectify the situation in the world and make things better for us. He says, he brings a story. This is a piece of paper that's floating around, which is a Sichas Musa from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. But he brings a beautiful story that illustrates this point. In the time of Rav Kiv Eger, there was the Chasana, that this was going to be the world's, this was the Chasana of the century. Everyone from all the surrounding towns were going to come visit to this town for the Chasana, and everyone knew about it, and they were preparing about it for months before. You know, kilo like Rechnitz's Chasana a few months ago. I don't know if you heard about it, but everyone knew about this. And what happened was, a few minutes right before the Chasana, two Edom came over to the Rav who was going to be Mesadik Kedushin, and they told him, you know, you should know, we're giving Edus that the Chasan is actually a mamzer, and he's not allowed to marry her. Malasat. Two kosher Edom, right? What are you supposed to do? So they called off the Chasana. The Masada Kedushin can't. I just heard Eidah said this guy's. What am I supposed to do? They call off the Chasana. This shallow, what are you supposed to do in this situation? What are they supposed to do? Everyone was handling about it. It was a big hack. They didn't know what to do. So it came one of the. One
yeah,
what? What did you say?
The famous time is in Marcos.
Yeah.
To find people that were with the Eidim. When they saw what they saw.
Yeah, the Jewish of Chakira.
Yeah.
But so somehow the question came to the Chassam Sefer. And they asked, well, what are we supposed to do? So the Chassam Sefer said, try to find out if these two people that gave Eidus, try to find out if they're relatives of the Chassam. So they did a deep investigation, they hired a PI or whatever, they looked into it, and Taka came out that these two people that said that the guy was a mamzer, they were actually his relatives. I don't know exactly who they were, his brothers or I don't know, his uncles or something like that. They were mamish relatives of this guy. So they said to Chassam Sefer, you have Ruach HaKodesh? How did you know? Rabbi Kiv Eger actually, he himself, he was astonished at how his son-in-law, Chassam Sefer, was able to figure this out. So he said, how do you know? Where do you have Ruach HaKodesh? Chassam Sefer, no, it's Pashut. Everyone knew about this, the whole country, all surrounding villages, everyone, all the towns, everyone knew about this chasana. For months, they were preparing about it. Why is it that all of a sudden, 10 minutes before the chuppah, someone told them the Masada Kedusha? Why didn't they come forth weeks ago, months ago? What happened over here? Says the Chassam Sofer, Elamai, such rishus, someone who's coming to do such rishus, that dafka right before the chasana to mess up the whole thing, such rishus can only come from a relative. Only a relative would do such a thing. What's the vart? The vart is when relatives get along and they're doing the right, they have a good relationship with each other, so everything is good. Baruch Hashem, everything is good. But when relatives who otherwise would be expected to have a close, good relationship with each other, and something turns sour and they turn against each other, that makes it even worse. It's mamish, horrible, really, and people would do the worst things to their own relatives. He says, Rav Pinkus points out, Chazal said this already, that the word ish v'isha, right? So when they're doing the right thing, shechina b'neihem. Why? Because ish has a yud, isha has a hey. So you have the Shem Hashem is mamish with them. Ish and isha together, they have the Shem Hashem. But when you don't have, when they're not doing the right thing, when they lose the name of Hashem, what do you have? Eish ve'eish, you're fire and fire. The mamish like negative, burn each other, they destroy each other. That's when there's a huge potential or a expectation of care, of closeness, and it's not there, and there's something instead there's a machloikis, that mamish causes the worst things to happen. So Rav Pinkus says that's the same thing in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Just like in a relationship between man and woman, it's the same thing in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. We're expected to be close to Hashem, but when we're not, Imam can bring out the worst things, the worst catastrophes. He spells it out. He says, "Kasher noitzar eifo yikas v'richok b'neim." When however it comes out that there's a anger and distance between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, hatoitzah hamukhrachas, the obligatory result would be tsaris ayumis v'nayroris, horrible and wondrous sufferings, gzeres tachtat, the Chelmensky massacres, hashoya, the Holocaust, the intifadas, etc. Mamish, a fire. So, you know, this is, I think, negeh to Bizman HaZeh, where we see all kinds of horrible things that are happening all over the world to Klal Yisrael, and the way to rectify it is for us to remember that when we're close to Hashem, everything is okay. And when we're not close to Hashem, you know, Eila v'chayu, Eila v'abo v'eila. Thank you guys for coming. A good talk.